Right now, I'm standing right across the street from where we live, and right behind me, there is a Hindu temple that was built about 6 months ago. Right now, it is filled with a number of gods, from regional gods to gods that are worshipped all across India. We are surrounded by people who are giving worship to any number of inanimate objects that have been created by hands. Isaiah 43 says, I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another. And Lindsay and I are here, along with our family, working to see God glorified in a place where it's incredibly dark. And we just want to say thanks for that. So we are asking for continued partnership, hope, and a real belief that God is at work here. We're asking for a few simple things. One of them is that every temple would become a church, that God would take all of these temples and give birth to a family of disciples that are multiplying and reaching others for His glory and for their joy. So this is my friend Sunger, and every day, morning, noon, and night, he makes food for people in our community. Right now, he is making parotha, quite possibly the best Indian bread that you can eat. And it's right here across from our home in our city. And so Sunger daily is working hard. He's become a friend. He makes food for us, and we are grateful to have him. Your partnership with Adi Moon helps make this possible for us. I'm wondering, who is Adi Moon? What does this offering go to? And so I wanted to take just a minute and tell you a little bit about what your contributions are doing all across the world. So right now I'm sitting in the remote hotel. That's a restaurant right across the street from where we live. We've made friends here, we've eaten food here, and your support makes possible for us to make some of these relationships. When we think about what does Adi Moon do for us, for our family, and for the work all across the globe, it's little things like this. Your contributions put fuel in our car so we can drive to and from trainings. Your contributions help buy resources for us to put in the field in order for people to learn and understand what the Bible says about who God is. Your resources that you are investing over this season make it possible for our kids to go to school. All three of our children are in incredible educational environments. They're learning, they're growing, and your giving, your sacrificial generosity is making that possible. I think about other things that your giving makes possible that maybe you don't see or feel right now. Our family has health insurance. We are able to go to the doctor and get the care we need. We're in a country that's very different, so we experience things that are different, different types of medications that are needed. In fact, just a couple days ago, I had to walk to a pharmacy. Our pharmacist is named Minakshi, and she was able to get us some medication for something that we've got to do every 5 months that we didn't have to do in the States. And your generosity makes that possible. So your giving to Adi Moon has made it possible for us to be here. And by being here, we are able to share the love of Christ and the light of the gospel for those who are around us. There are 11 million people in our city, and there are so few that have a clear understanding of the gospel of Christ. And we are grateful that your understanding of the gospel of Christ has led you to partner with us by praying, by giving, and by going. And Lord willing, we will see the glory of the gospel of Christ take root right here in our city. South Asia is made up of a myriad of people and places. Right behind me is a poverty-stricken, lower-income area that is filled with people that are day laborers. And what I mean by that is they start at 5:36 in the morning and they work till 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night. We see people who have become friends and family, but everyone that we come in contact with needs a relationship with the gospel. Your consistent investment by praying for us, caring for us, and giving generously make our gospel proclamation possible here. Thank you for caring for us. Thank you for investing in us. We've been overwhelmed with the kindness of Southern Baptists and friends and family just like you. And so we are here today on your behalf as ambassadors for the sake of the gospel. And we are thankful for what you've done for us, what you've given to us, and how you've partnered with us in this journey. And so as you look over my shoulder, you see home after home, business after business, and the overwhelming majority have no idea who Jesus Christ is. And we are glad that you've sent us here to be stewards of the gospel that is so dear to all of us. And And we know that that gospel is bearing fruit in the entire world. Paul says in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 6 that the gospel will bear fruit throughout the world. And so from right where you're sitting this morning or this evening or this afternoon and where we are right now, the gospel is bearing fruit. And we are thankful to be a part of that. So as you give this season, whether it's a Christmas gift, whether it's a Lottie Moon offering, whether it's just giving the gospel to those who need it that are right around you, we want to say thanks for partnering with us in this gospel journey. We are grateful, we're hopeful, and we're excited about what's ahead.
Gracias.
Can you say another one? Okay. Are you ready?
Yes.
Nandri.
Nandri.
Yeah. Okay, just like that. Okay. Alright, here we go. Okay.
Nandri.
Thank you.
Nandri.
That is Jacob and Lindsay Atchley. They actually served in our state office for the West Virginia Convention of Southern Baptists for a period of time. Went on to plant a church over in Martinsburg that now does very well. And then felt called into the mission field. And they're serving in Central Asia now. They're one of the churches that we support. It's one of the churches supported through our Lottie Moon Christmas offering. So during this time where we're accepting that offering, please be in prayer for that. But I wanted you to be able to put a face with the name and see people that we actually participate with. One of the great things about having a partnership with someone over there is that in September of next year, Carmen and I are going on what's called a strategic planning mission trip, which you go over there as the lead pastor and her going with me as my wife. For us to go over and see how we can help them as a church, not just financially, but physically, how we could go over there and participate in some kind of mission trip. So be in prayer for both supporting them during this month, during the Lottie Moon thing, and also be in prayer about how we as a church can become more mission-oriented and how we can engage in those international missions more as well. Just to go over a couple quick announcements, this is a welcome card. It's for visitors. If you're a visitor with us, my name's Jason Spade. I'm the pastor here. If you would take a moment and fill out that card, you can either drop it in the offering plate, but if you take it to the Welcome Center, they have a gift for you for having come and worshiped with us this morning. Also, up there on the Welcome Center, if you're a member and you wanted to look at it, this is the budget that was passed on Wednesday evening. So if you want to stop and pick up a copy, feel free to do that. We're excited about what God's going to do in ministry in our church next year. So be in prayer about how you can support that, whether that's financially or whether you want to get involved physically as well, serving in a different area of the church or something else. I've said before, every single person in this room, God has a purpose for you in this church. So let us help you find what that purpose is. You'll find a fulfillment in your walk with Christ that you don't currently have. I promise that. As you begin to serve and him more in different areas, not only of the church, but of the community and other places. I'm going to do our weekly read and respond, and then Judy's going to come up. She's got a quick announcement about the things with brown bags and our delivery of those. You don't have to stand. You can do it sitting down. We'll go ahead and do it. It says, what does Christ's resurrection mean for us? The answer is that Christ triumphed over sin and death by being physically resurrected, so that all who trust in him are raised to new life in this world and to everlasting life in the world to come. Just as we will one day be resurrected, so this world one day will be restored. But those who do not trust in Christ will be raised to everlasting death. It comes from 1 Thessalonians 4:13-14. It says, but we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. Judy, go ahead.
That's what bad joints do to you. I don't trust coming up the stairs without a rail. I want to thank everyone who took brown bags and got them in and got the right items in them. Been wonderful. You'll note that there's some added color in the foyer today, and those baskets will go out next Saturday. You'll note in the bulletin that we are still short several dozen, probably about 60 dozen cookies. So if anyone feels led to contribute to that mission, it would be greatly appreciated. And in your bulletin, it tells you you need to have them in by this Thursday. If you have them ready on Friday, don't get them ready until Friday. They need to be here by noon, because Marilyn and KT are putting the Christmas cookies in the packaging and sealing those up and putting them with the baskets. Drivers. This is probably a very unusual year for us. We have 7 bicycles. 3 of those go to the same household, and they're little ones with training wheels. So that's going to take some space in a vehicle, plus the other gifts that go to that family, plus their food. It's things like that that are good problems to have. We are so blessed in this congregation to be able to support 44 children for Christmas. Therefore, we need your help, because there are boxes that are this wide and this high that might be just one package of 4 going to a household. So it's very important that if you have the time Saturday, beginning at 3:45, we meet in the sanctuary for instructions and prayer. And then we assign these baskets to you. Actually, Leonard and I, my husband and I, will make the assignments ahead of time, trying to expedite the process of getting out of here in a reasonable time frame on Saturday, beginning at 4 o'clock. Therefore, then you can go have Christmas, do whatever you need to finish up with your family and have time with them. So if you have not signed up for cookies, we'd appreciate you doing that. If you have not signed up to participate in delivery, the need is great. Appreciate it. Thank you very much. Have a blessed day.
All right, if you would stand with me, we're going to pray, and then we'll welcome each other here this morning, and then we'll start our worship set. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. I thank you for just the opportunity to be here, for what you're already doing in our congregation over the last few weeks. But Lord, as we build up to Christmas, help us, Lord, to remember that you are the reason that we're here, the reason we celebrate. Lord, I pray for these brown bags and for our angel tree gifts that will be delivered. Lord, I pray that you help us to be a good witness as we take these out. But Lord, move in the hearts and minds of men and women to volunteer to help with this process as well. Lord, thank you. Bless our service. Help us, Lord, not only to know your presence, but to experience it in a new way today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, shake hands and welcome somebody here today.
great seeing y'all this morning. Let's continue on with worship this morning, all right? Thank you.
Majesty, Lord of all.
God's people said, amen. Brother Dave, if you'll come on up. Dave Wills is our deacon of the week. And if you need to get hold of him, the number's right up there. Ushers are coming forward, brother. They're all yours.
Is this mic working today?
That mic is working today, brother.
I love it. First of all, I want to put everybody's mind at rest. I've determined by standing up here looking down at our beloved pastor that if Rudolph has an illness and can't perform, pastor can lead that sleigh. I can't help it. It's my nature. Well, good morning. It's a great time of the year, getting close to celebrating our Savior's birth. A lot goes on in the past year. Would you say life is like the weather and the four seasons? Unpredictable. We experience hope, fear, sadness, joy, in random order every year. The one constant in our life is the love of our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen? A couple short readings. At Christmas, we commemorate the coming of Christ into the world, but we must never forget about the coming of Christ into our hearts. If we want to experience the real joy of Christmas, Christ has to pour out his salvation and peace into our hearts. Thank God that Christ not only came into the world, but also personally comes into the hearts of those who believe in him. He came to find and redeem those who were lost. He comes to you today with his hands filled with grace and forgiveness and blessings. He comes to turn your sadness into joy. Now, part of the rough road, I think, that many families experience in this year brought me back to this poem, which I think affects a lot of us and can give us hope. One night I dreamed a dream. I was walking along the beach with my Lord. Across the dark sky flashed scenes from my life. For each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, maybe in our case, the snow. One belonging to me and one to my Lord. After the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand. I noticed that many times in my life, especially the very lowest and saddest times, there's only one set of footprints. That really troubled me. So I asked the Lord, Lord, you said once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I noticed that during the saddest and most troublesome times of my life, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you most, you would leave me. He whispered, my precious child, I love you, will never leave you, never ever during your trials and testings. When you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we continually delight in the knowledge that you are always with us. Jesus, our Savior and Redeemer, thank you that we can experience the all-surpassing joy and happiness of one who has been saved. Great and mighty God, we honor you with our gifts and tithes. Direct us to use them as you wish. Thank you for revealing your greatness to us and enriching our lives. Amen.
God's story is our story, and we have to share it. Learning skateboarding was a cool thing, and it became part of my daily life. I became like my friends too. You know, my friends would go to parties, and I would go to parties too. And I'll party hard till, you know, early in the morning.
Thank you.
all the stuff that I have listened to on these English lessons and Bible studies, everything started falling into place. I decided to ask Jesus to come to my life, to be a part of my life, because what they were saying was actually something that I really wanted, you know. And I said, yes, I want to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Skateboarding was my passion, but then Christ became my passion. And a week after that day, I got my first mission trip. And then in one of my mission trips is where I met Arturo.
I think for Freddie, what I saw, like a new young believer with a desire of sharing the gospel, learning Bible studies that became his lifestyle.
He asked me, you know, is everything okay? Have you been sharing your faith with people? And I said, yes, I have been sharing my faith. Didn't you see today? I was translating for the missionary. And then he looked at me and said, like, yes, I mean, you are interpreting, you are translating those words, but these are not your words. These are their words.
I told him, like, hey, you know, your story has value, and that's what you have to share, like your own story, because our own story inserts in God's story.
Papá ordenó matar a la vaca más gorda para celebrar. He told me that God's story, Jesus' story, is our story, and we have to share it with that same passion. That fills me with joy, definitely.
All right. Well, good morning. There was supposed to be a video there where I was going to show you how I did all the stunts in the previous video, but it didn't work out, so you'll just have to use your imagination. A long time ago, I used to ride a skateboard, but it's been a long, long time ago. I don't think anybody would want to see it now, but we are going to basically read two groupings of Scripture this morning, and as we do that, I hope that it will become something that begins to get internalized into our hearts and minds. It'll be something that begins to transform our Christmas and the celebration of Christmas. But a couple things just to talk about real quickly. One is I love to watch people. I don't know if you guys are like that or not. Some people might think it's kind of weird, but I think we all watch people to a degree. But I enjoy getting to see what makes people tick as far as that goes, or what makes them passionate about something or upset about different things, whichever one. It always helps me, though, to be able to focus in a different way, and kind of usually opens up my mind to things that are going on. I like to, when we go places, Carmen sometimes will get on me because she can tell I'm watching people. But not too long ago, we took the first time we'd ever been to Amish country, which I know probably there's some of you probably think, at 47, first time you ever go to Amish country. Well, to me, it was because every time I heard Amish country, I heard the chimes of a cash register go off at the exact same time. So it was always like, why do I want to go to Amish country and spend all kinds of money? Because I couldn't understand why there would be any draw other than to spend all kinds of money, which I will say, if you go to Amish country, you will spend some money. But it's fun. It was actually enjoyable. Well, we went to this place that has cheese, Hainese cheese, which I know those two words shouldn't go together. But anyway, it's a cheese place. I'm just saying that not everybody thinks through the titles of things. So we go to this place, and they have like a tasting room. You walk around, and they've got these little dishes, and you take a toothpick, and you dip it down into the cheese, and you take a bite of the cheese. They have cut up little chunks. You can taste all kinds of different types of cheese, which makes it awesome because it's something that you don't get to do every day. So my wife is standing at the cash register wondering where I am. And she looks down through this aisleway where she can see the tasting area of the cheese. And me and another member of this church, which will remain nameless, Tom Kimes, we're back down there eating them. We were pretty sure that you're supposed to try to make that toothpick go to the bottom of the bowl, which gives you more than one piece. And they didn't say the limit on it or anywhere. But she was watching us and getting quite enjoyment out of it, I think. And it just reminded me that there's somebody always watching, you know. We went to another place to eat, and they had little dips of different types. Like one of them was like cheese dips, and one of them was some kind of pumpkin spice dip or something. Well, this little boy comes walking up through there, and he literally is digging for gold, if you know what I mean. His finger is so buried in his nose that it's ridiculous. And then he pulls that finger out, reaches over, grabs a pretzel out of the bowl, didn't use the tongs, just reaches over, grabs a pretzel out. That was the only dip I did not try because I was watching people. So there are some benefits to watching people. But when you watch them, you see people do some really funny things. And you see people do some really inspiring things. Sometimes when they don't realize people are watching either. You know, they help someone, or they stop and they help somebody load their groceries into a car that was struggling to do so. Or they help them get out to their car or something like that. Sometimes, it's funny because they really apparently believe you cannot see into their car. They believe they're invisible. Just for future reference, guys, the windows are not that dark. You are not invisible in your car. Please be aware of that. You can save yourself some future embarrassment. As a truck driver for a number of years, I promise you that I am sure some of you thought you were invisible in your car. So watching people is always interesting to me. And if people are always watching, whether you realize it or not, sometimes they're as blatant as we can find ourselves being sometimes. When somebody's doing something really strange or different, you look around and you see all kinds of people staring at you. But oftentimes they're watching and we don't even realize it. We don't notice them watching us, nothing else. So I want to talk a little bit today about some of the watchers from Christmas and the Christmas story. Mainly because I think sometimes we underestimate the amount of watchers. So I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to read our verses. One of the things I do want to remind us of, too, is there are multiple different ways to tell this story. That's the reason why I'm reading both sets of verses, because Matthew's oftentimes referred to, Luke is oftentimes referred to, and we're going to read both of them. And I would highly encourage you, you're going to hear both these groups of verses three times between now and Christmas, if you're here this week, next week, and Christmas Eve. You're going to hear these verses each time. And I would still encourage you to read them again on Christmas morning. Remind yourself what this holiday really is about, because it's so easy to forget with everything that's going on around us. All of the hoopla and gifts and celebrations are wonderful, but let's remember at the heart of it why we celebrate and what we're doing. One of the great ways that we see that in our church is because we do different ways of celebrating it. Everything from our Christmas cantata on the 22nd to our puppet show tonight. are different ways of telling that story. Whether it's through music or whether it's through puppets or cantatas or whatever it is, the whole purpose behind what we do is to try to help people remember the reason that we celebrate. So be sure and attend those two events too, not just on Sunday mornings. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you come and hear me speak. I'm glad you listen to our worship set and to our announcements and to all those things. But tonight when they do the puppet show and next week when they do the Christmas kind of choir homecoming, be sure and avail yourselves of those two things as well. Christmas Eve, we have baptism and communion planned, both of which are to remind us of Christ and who he is and what he's done for us. So if you're interested also in baptism and you haven't been baptized, please see me about that as well. We can do that night as well. But I'm going to pray for us, and we're going to read these verses, then we'll talk about the watchers, the people that were watching us and watching the Lord in this message unfold. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the story of Christmas. I thank you for the meaning of Christmas. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to gather here to talk through it, to think about who it is that comes along and watches. It's always amazing to me, Lord, that we can see so many things that you're doing and miss them so often. Why are we so good at watching bad things? So bad at watching good things. Help us, Lord, to make sure our focus is correct, that we're looking and watching for the right things. Lord, bless us as we go through this message this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Matthew 1, 18 through 12, it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, 'Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which means 'God with us.' When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for it is written by the prophet, And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him.' After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Then in Luke 2:1-21, it says, "In those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinus was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.' When the angels went away from him into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb." These verses tell us the story of Jesus from a couple different perspectives, but they always highlight this magical, this amazing thing that has occurred where Christ comes to earth, where Jesus is born among men, where we suddenly see this God-man laying in a manger with all the promise of what it is he's going to do. I can only imagine what it must have been like to be there in that day and time, but I can understand how people are today and how they were then as well. We have a tendency to kind of stand back and watch what happens, see how it goes. That's why I said earlier that sometimes we forget that people are watching us. You realize that back then, some of the ways that this unfolded had a tremendous amount of credibility for people as to whether or not Christ was really Christ, whether Jesus was really the Son of God. They watched to see if that was true. People watch us oftentimes for that same thing. They watch us. Is that person's life really changed by this Savior they say they have? Is there really an impact in the day-to-day way that they live their lives? Is there evidence that this is true? They watch us. Watch is defined this way: to be alertly on the lookout, looking attentively or observe as to see what comes, is done, or happens. It means they're not just casually looking. They're attentive. They're watching. As a non-believer, it was one of the main reasons why I had struggled coming to faith. It's one of the reasons why it took until I was 32 years old to come to faith. I've told the story before, but when I witnessed my wife be saved in 2001 and saw the transformation that occurred in her life, I knew that there must be some truth to the gospel. Up until then, all I had ever seen was people that told me about it, but their life did not reflect it. So as a result, me watching them, because I like to watch people, we already talked about that, what I saw was a lack of evidence. I saw a lack of true change. I saw a lack of truth in what was said versus what was done. So as a result, when I start reading this message over and over again, I told you before, maybe last week, that the three messages over the next three opportunities, this Sunday, next Sunday, and Christmas Eve, were going to be about characteristics of Christmas or characters of Christmas. You got watchers, you got waiters, and you have worshipers. Well, we still today have watchers. We still have people that are sitting back watching to see what really happened here. What is real and what is not based off of what we had. So we're going to talk a little bit about three different types of watchers that were involved at this time and what they were looking for and why they maybe missed some things. The first one is the nation of Israel was watching. They had been watching for a Messiah for a very long time. They were eager anticipation of this Savior to come, this Messiah. Zechariah 14:9 says, "And the Lord will be king over all the earth. On that day the Lord will be one, and His name will be one." His name. They were looking for this Messiah to come, this deliverer, this redeemer to come. They had put themselves in a position where they saw, where they looked for a warrior king. They looked for someone who was going to come in and right the wrongs. But they looked for it by a person that was going to come in and right the wrongs by force. In their day, each kingdom or land had its own god or gods. The strength and power of their god was established by the size of their country, lands, and riches. So in their mind, the only way God got bigger was for the nation of Israel to get bigger. You know, when you look at that, you can understand why they would think that, since back in that day, each kingdom's god was measured in strength by how large the society was, by how large the country was. You know, the Greek gods were considered to be supreme for a period of time because the Greek nation was supreme for a period of time. The Romans did much the same. Israel thought that same way. It shouldn't be foreign to us because in somewhere in our heart of hearts, oftentimes we can fall victim to that. You know, my God is bigger because my church is bigger. That doesn't equate, but it's still something that we think through. So we can begin to at least have some reference point to what they thought back then. So they're looking for a God who's going to come in and increase the size of their place. It's going to undo occupancy. He's going to come in and throw the Romans out. He's going to retake Jerusalem. He's going to reestablish the promised land. He's going to broaden the borders of Israel. So in their mind, they're constantly looking for a physical manifestation of the Messiah. It must be a physical reality. They looked for physical realities instead of a spiritual reality. Too often, instead of looking to the things that they should have been looking to, they looked to the things that they could touch, that they could taste. There was no waiting for a spiritual Messiah. They constantly wanted this victor to come in, that was going to conquer, that was going to overthrow, that was going to be the strongest man in the room. And instead, they got this Savior who came in meek and and mild and offering reconciliation and forgiveness to the enemies of Israel. You can imagine why they might have missed it. Why they might not have gathered who it was they were looking at, because he did not fit the picture in their head. He fit the picture in Scripture, but he did not fit the picture they had manifested in their head. They watched for a Messiah. They wanted to see him, but they missed him because he wasn't the picture that they had in their head. They watched Mary and Joseph. I'm sure that at that time, with the culture that they were in, it was absolutely scandalous for her to turn up pregnant and it not be his child. They watched to see, how is this going to happen? Is he going to stone her or cast her out or divorce her, or what is going to happen? I can only imagine how confused they must have been, given the culture that they lived in, that not only did he not punish her in some way, but he embraced and validated her story. So they saw this and began to miss it because of their ceremonial rules that they had around. They probably began to dismiss her right off because she didn't fit the model that they were looking for. Even though they saw in Scripture, born to a virgin, they knew how the Messiah was to come. It just seemed too unbelievable, and they missed it. They were watching for it, but didn't see it. They watched the reaction of these different entities, whether it was the wise men that came, or whether it was the shepherds that came proclaiming what the angels had said. They watched that. They saw that. And even then, I think they probably began to be hopeful. But as his ministry would flesh out on earth, even his disciples came to him in Acts and said, "Will you now reestablish the kingdom? Will you declare your kingdom?" They still wanted this warrior king who was going to punish those who had done wrong and elevate the righteous. One of those things I think we can identify with, at least to a certain degree. I know for a fact that myself, as the pastor of this church, there has been times where my prayer has not been, "Lord, please reach them for the gospel. Soften their heart so they hear your word, repent, believe, and are saved." Too often, my prayer is, "Lord, would you please get that person? They need to be gotten." My prayer has not been one for a Messiah offering peace and reconciliation. My prayer has been vengeance or some kind of justification. They missed the Messiah because they were too worried about a physical reality instead of a spiritual reality. The Roman world was watching. The Roman world was watching, expecting rebellion. They had heard the rumors. They had heard the stories. They had been around the Jews long enough to know that the Jews were fiercely proud of the fact that one day their Messiah was going to come and overthrow all governments. Because that's what they had been telling people. That's how they had been portraying their Messiah. They watched, expecting war. Expecting that it would come. That rebellion. As a matter of fact, when the Jews hand Jesus over to Pontius Pilate, one of the charges they make against him is that he's proclaiming himself a king to stir up a rebellion. So they watched expecting war, that they also watched to see if it was real. It's one of the reasons why Pontius Pilate reacts the way he does when crucifixion is ultimately the choice of the crowd, and washes his hands of the matter, because he's starting to see something that makes him question what's being said on both sides. He's looking to see, was it real? Even in their jeers of him, they were looking to see if it is real. If you are the Messiah, come down off that cross. looking and challenging him to produce proof of who he was. But we do that, do we not? If you're real, God, do these things and then I'll believe you. It's like the old joke, you know, about God, I need a sign that I'm supposed to do this or that. And then you pass a billboard that has those exact words on it. And you go, well, yeah, but that's not from God. I need a sign, God. And you pass the next one and there's the same words again. Well, and you just dismiss it because we continuously ask God to perform for us. Too often we, even at Christmas time, instead of celebrating and worshiping the God of the universe, the Son of God who came and died for us, instead we much more cater ourselves to the world that delivers goods on an instant basis. Nowadays you can order it and have it the next day, or you can about anything you ever want. And it takes the place of a God who refuses to do tricks for us. And this world that was watching, this Roman world that was watching, had struggles in believing because Jesus would not perform for them, even though he had done plenty of things that should have validated who he was. Plenty of prophecies that should have revealed to the Jews that he was who he said he was. It should have been something that we had no trouble worshiping as people. Which leads me to this next thing. The world today is still watching. I was watching for 32 years, waiting to see if the Messiah was real. But you realize for people, which is amazing to me, God even lets us play a part in this process. But we are the main mechanism that God uses to get his word to everyone else. It's amazing. He could just snap his fingers and it would be done. But instead, we're invited to participate in this process. And we fall so terribly short of this over and over again. And then we come to this time of the year. And this time of the year could be for us a huge redeeming part of the year. This part of the year, Christians could be so different than the world around them. We could show them that the Messiah is real. They are watching. What are we showing? It's part of the reason why I said we'll be open on Christmas Day. And it sends a horrible message if we're not. When we have these opportunities to show that Messiah is real, we need to take them. They want to know, does he really help you? And even the video where it was talking about the skateboarder and being able to take his story was a part of God's story, and his story had value. You know, that's what they want. They want to know. They don't want to know how the pastor thinks the Word of God applies to their lives. Not initially. What they want to know is, how does Jesus Christ help you? How does he help the person they work beside, or the person they live beside, or their son or daughter or mother or dad? They want to know, how and does he really help you? Does he really offer peace? Does he really offer forgiveness and reconciliation? They want to know those things. I wanted to know those things. And too often what I heard was condemnation and judgment. I didn't get the peace message. Be sure that we're showing them a Messiah who offers peace. Is he really who he says he is? That's another question that they're asking when they're watching. And they know, because They hear it. They hear us profess our faith. They know it's supposed to make a change in our lives. They know that when they hear a rousing speech from someone on climate change, they feel moved in their soul to get involved and help change the climate. They want to know whether or not that same passion exists in you when you say that Christ is ordering your life. Are you at least that passionate or not? They want to know that God actually does something in your life. That it changes things. That it produces something. They watch for those things. The main reasons for rejection. Some people may point to the church. Some people will point to that. I used to point to that. Because sometimes we can be our own worst enemy. Because what they hear more often than not is how we don't agree with each other or we don't like each other more than they hear about our Savior. Or they hear about our programs or our ministries, but they don't hear about our Savior. As a result, they don't understand the draw. They don't get it. They miss it, and sometimes it's our fault that they miss it. Sometimes it's not. Now, when I came in here in 2004 and saw a church that was very united and moving in the same direction and seemed to genuinely have a love for one another, and I had seen the amount of change that occurred in my wife through her faith, I was very open to the gospel. And we always have that opportunity. We always have the ability to show the greatest things about Jesus to other people. And we have done that before, and we will do that again. But we need to be intentional about that. To make that a part of our worship at Christmas time. And the people that you run into at Walmart on a normal shopping day should recognize the fact that the only friendly face they've seen today was the people that are Christians. Because we're not as caught up in the buzz. We're not as caught up in all of the commercialism. Because we have something bigger than that. Something greater than that. They were looking for something like a warrior. The reason that many did not accept Jesus was because they were looking for a Messiah to come with judgment on the enemies of God, and he came with an offer of forgiveness and peace instead. The reason many did not accept Jesus was because they were looking for a Messiah to come with judgment on the enemies of God, and he came with an offer of forgiveness and peace instead. Too many times, guys, we're looking for that Messiah too. We're looking for the Messiah that's going to come and correct all the wrongs. But we want him to somehow do it through punishment rather than forgiveness and grace, rather than through peace. And we have a Savior right now, currently alive in our presence, that is far more concerned with forgiveness and reconciliation than judgment. There'll be a day for judgment, but we should not desire that day. There are too many people that still need to hear about Christ. Too many people that still need to receive the offer of reconciliation and forgiveness. Some people will point to us. Some people will say that it's us that is the reason that they reject it. Too many times we become a part of the discrediting of Christ rather than the crediting of Christ. But I am always so grateful that 1 John 1 and 9 says what it does, and it's written to believers. And it says, if you confess your sins, he is righteous and just to forgive us those sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's no asterisk after that statement. There's no, well, except for you that did this, this, and this. There's nothing there that qualifies that statement. It simply says, look, I know at times I have not represented Christ well, but if I confess that sin, if I ask for forgiveness, He will not only forgive me, but cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And I can begin again. It is never too late to begin to have your life bring credit to Christ's life. It is never too late for that. And it is never too late for Christ's offer of forgiveness and peace to impact your life, to become something that changes your life. You know that Jesus still makes that same invitation, that forgiveness and peace. He still makes that same statement and invitation today. He still offers that same thing to those that will receive Him. One of the greatest aspects to me is because the only people that would really find the kind of Messiah appealing that was born on Christmas Day are sinners. Because if you were righteous, He is not the guy you were looking for. You had to be broken. You had to be nothing. You had to be an open, recognizable sinner. And when you were, He offered peace and forgiveness and became a Savior worth celebrating on Christmas Day. For the righteous, they likely felt shorted. Well, it's the parable of the workers. You know, they worked all day long, and at the end of the day, here comes the owner, and he pays the people that only worked an hour the same amount as he paid the people that had worked for 10 hours that day. And if we don't watch ourselves, we will miss the reason for this season because we're too busy celebrating righteousness rather than forgiveness. God came to this earth to reconcile man unto Himself through the death, burial, and resurrection of His Son, to offer peace, grace, and forgiveness to all those who would receive Him. That is the Messiah that came. In Acts 1:6, they still asked Him, these disciples that had been with Him the whole time, Lord, will You at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? No matter what Christ chooses to do with this church or with this nation or with anything else, you realize that we serve a Lord and Savior that is not only is He not concerned with expanding borders other than the kingdom of God, He is also not condemning us just because we belong to one another. But, you know, there'll be people that are saved that are Republicans and Democrats. You know that will happen. There'll be people that will go to heaven that have never spent a day in church that accept Christ on their deathbed. And they will be paid the same way as us. We have got to stop looking for a Christ concerned with only physical realities and start accepting a Christ that gives us every spiritual reality we could ever ask for. This world will disappoint us. And we serve a Savior who never will. The only people that would really find this kind of Messiah appealing were the sinners and are the sinners. Those who think themselves righteous have no need for the Messiah, Jesus Christ. But man, for sinners, there has never been such a Savior. They can watch I hope they watch. I hope when people look at my life, they see the change that God has wrought in my life through the person of Jesus Christ, through His indwelling Spirit in my life. I hope and pray that that's what they see when they look at each of you. Because if that's what they see, we will make a tremendous impact for Christ at Christmas this year. And we will invite the watchers. We will invite them to look to see whether or not it was real. To see whether or not Christ is who He says He is. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7 says, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be on His shoulder. And His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty Peace, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and of peace there will be no end on the throne of David and over His kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." Isaiah 7:14 says, "Therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel." This is the Messiah we celebrate during this season. A Messiah coming with forgiveness and mercy. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call His name Emmanuel," which means God with us. A Messiah coming with forgiveness and mercy. I pray that this season, this holiday season, that is the Messiah you celebrate, and that is the Messiah you represent. As we go to our time of invitation, I would invite you to think through whether or not you even know Christ as your Savior. If you don't, this is an excellent time to come forward, and I can help you with how to accept Christ as your Savior. If you are not a member of the church and this is a time you want to join the church, I would encourage you to do so there as well. But this is also just a time where the altar up here is open. You can come forward and pray about whatever it is that you know you need to deal with between you and God. There's others up here, that some of our deacons will be up here. If you need somebody to pray with you, I'll pray with you. However it needs to be. But this time of invitation is really a time for you to reflect on the message you have just heard, how it's going to impact your life, and what you're going to do about it. So as this time of invitation goes, I would encourage you to search. Ask God to reveal to you the areas of your life where you maybe aren't watching for the right Messiah. Maybe you're not representing Him the way you should. Maybe He's not impacting your life the way He should. Whatever it is, this time of invitation is for you. If you would please stand with me, we're going to pray, and then we'll go to our time of invitation. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for this group of people, Lord, for the impact that they've had on my life and the impact that we plan as a group to have on others' lives. Lord, You are a Messiah of forgiveness and peace. Help us, Lord, to represent that to the world around us. Help us to celebrate that in our worship, in our lives, but more to the point, Lord, Christmas Day, help our day to be about celebrating You and all that You have blessed us with. Every gift underneath the tree, every ability to visit and warm ourselves with the company of friends and family, each of those things are blessings from You, Lord, and help us to keep that in the forefront of our mind. Bless us as we go through this time of invitation. Help, Lord, to open the hearts and minds of those that maybe don't know You as Lord and Savior, that today would be the day that they respond. Lord, I pray for those that are here that are trying to find out if this is a church family for them. Lord, I pray that You help them to answer those questions and to ask me and others that will be more than happy to answer any questions they have. But Lord, right now I pray that each of us would dedicate ourselves to showing You to the world around us over the next 2 weeks. Help us, Lord, to make a huge impact just by letting you make a huge impact in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Day to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. If you're on Facebook or on our email list, you know that Rick Berkey is going to be having surgery tomorrow. He is a bit apprehensive about that. So we're going to mention he and, of course, his wife Mary during this time of prayer. But if you do, take some time tomorrow in the morning to remember him as in prayer as he's going through this. And just pray that God will give him a peace about that. But also, let's remember each other in prayer that we can share the love of Christ with those who are around us during this time of season. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for today. Father, we thank you for this message. And Father, we just pray that you would help us to be watchful. Father, Israel missed your son when he came the first time. Father, they were looking for something and didn't recognize what was right in front of them. Father, help us in our everyday circumstances to recognize you when you are there moving, and Father, when you are working, and Father, when you are fulfilling your plan in our lives. Father, help us to give you praise and glory for those things so that people around us can see what you mean to us and, Father, the impact that you have on our lives as we live for you each and every day of our lives. Father, right now, we just want to lift up Rick and Mary to you. Father, we just lift Rick up. Father, that you would give him the peace that we heard about today. Father, that you would just be around him. And Father, that you would just give him that sense of peace that he needs right now with this surgery that's approaching tomorrow. And Father, of course, for Mary as well, as she we'll be there with him. And Father, we just pray that she can just continue to encourage him. And Father, we pray for the doctors as they'll be performing the surgery. Father, we just pray that you would just guide their hands to where they can do what they need to do while they're in there. And Father, that it would restore Rick back to full health. Father, we just pray this. And Father, we lift him up to you. And Father, we place him in your hands. And Father, just pray that you would work through those that will be doing this. Father, once again, be with us as we go from this place today. Father, help us to be your witnesses. Help us to show you to a world that needs to see it. No matter where we're at, Father, help us to remember that we are in your mission field wherever you have placed us. Father, once again, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the time together. We thank you for your love. We thank you for the gift of your Son. Be with us. In your name we pray. Amen. Have a great afternoon, folks. Hope to see you back tonight for the puppet show.